Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors. Welcome to another PI World 2020 Roundup of the Year interview. And today we're with John Rosier, who we interviewed right back in the thick of the COVID-19 crash at the beginning of April, when, John, you'd sold a bit in advance of the crash and were buying back heavily, illustrating perfect timing when we were all feeling very, very cautious. So how's it gone since then? And how's your year-to-date performance been?
So if we look back, I mean, I think we talked in April, didn't we?
We did.
I mean, that was the Financial Times front page on the 19th of March, which was pretty close to the bottom. The bottom for the All Share was actually on the Monday after Boris announced we were all going into lockdown. And things really did seem pretty grim. But the market at that stage was down, you know, 40% or so from the top. And I didn't have that much cash. I mean, I bought gold and I'd raised a bit of cash sort of back in January, February time. But I just felt some of the valuations were just looking so tempting, which is why I put money back in. But also, I remember at the time talking about quite a lot of sentiment indicators I looked at and the service I got from the US, which sort of measured what the sentiment was like in the market. And it really was at rock bottom. So it was sort of fighting against that and investing, putting my money in that. Well, anyway, it's worked so far. So, I mean, this year, as of last night, I'm now at 16.5%. So that's actually about a 70% jump from the bottom on March the 23rd. I mean, the chart on the right here shows it's the month-end figures, except that I updated it to the other day. So it was slightly worse, actually, at the 23rd of March. It had already bounced a bit by the end of the month. But the chart there shows the performance of the JIC portfolio in blue. So that's my portfolio. And then in green, it's the FTSE All World sterling-based index, which I think's, you know, worth looking at, because if you compare it with the FTSE All Share, it's a lot more difficult, benchmark to beat. The All Share is, pretty. I would say it's a sort of an easier benchmark to beat than a world index. So that's just the longer term, because it's all very well doing well in 1 year, but actually to build long-term wealth, you just need to keep trying to repeat it. And even if you have a bad year, and this chart here goes back to January 2012, and there are a couple of bad years in there, but you can't sort of really see them. And it doesn't really matter, as long as you stick to your knitting and and, you know, through that time, I've been pretty fully invested. So, that's worked. Now, you might say, well, it's been a bull market throughout. But there were the odd times when it felt that we were in a bear market, certainly some good corrections. So at the beginning of this year, my annualized return was 16.2%. And as of now, it is 16.2%. So this year's sort of been pretty much in line with the average of the previous 8 years.
Which is very nice. And,
well, again, you can see there as well the difference between the FTSE All Share, which over the, nearly 9 years is only up 78%, 6.6% annualised, whereas the FTSE All World is up 211 or 13.4% annualised. So, I really have been trying to focus more on beating that index, and it sort of forces you to have more exposure to other countries around the world. I don't want to do the UK down, but there's a lot of areas of the world which are growing at a much faster rate, and also countries that like the US that have a lot of stocks or companies that are growing at a fast rate. So I think just to focus on the UK, you're at risk of missing out a lot of opportunities.
So what's gone really well this year? What's outperformed and contributed to that performance?
Actually, across the portfolio, there's been some pretty good performers. And one that that's worked well for me has really been my exposure to natural resources. So mining companies, and I've played that through things like BlackRock World Mining, which has performed very well recently. But then the one I've picked here is Sylvania Platinum, which is up 103% this year. And that to me just falls into this category of benefiting from rising metal prices. And basically there's just a lot of demand at the moment and not enough supply. And I think with, I'm pretty bullish about world economy next year. And so I think this is going to continue and you're going to see some good inflation. Copper's at the highest price it's been for about 5 years. So I could have shown Central Asia Metals here, which is up around nearly 40% since I bought it only a month or so ago. But I've chosen Sylvania. It's up 103%, as I say. It's got a fantastic yield, 14.6% is the forecast yield for the year finishing next June. So they're paying a 10.7p dividend, that's the forecast, of which 3p of that is a sort of windfall payment. But they can afford to do this because they're a low-cost producer. They've got plenty of cash on the balance sheet. At the 30th of September, they had $67 million, which was up from $26 million a year before. At the moment, they're sort of making hay while the sun shines. Now, these things aren't without risk. If the platinum price plummeted and halved, then that cash flow generation would go. But I think it's in a pretty safe position given the strength of its balance sheet, and it is one of the lowest cost producers. So, that's done very well for me, but as you can see, I haven't sold on this big rise in the last 6 months, and I don't intend to. So this one I hope will continue to perform well into next year. Then the second stock I've chosen here, it's not one of my biggest holdings. I bought it in October last year, but I added in April. You can see the little green buy there, and it's basically doubled since then. I still, again, think this one that's pretty good value. It's a quarrying sort of building material company. It's a buy and build strategy. The founder, David Barrett, who's executive chairman, has sort of done this before. He's got 40 years experience in the sector. He co-founded London Concrete back in 97, which he sold on to Lafarge Holcim. So I sort of see the same thing happening here. I think the end game eventually will be to sell on to one of the bigger players. But in the meantime, the valuation looks very, very attractive. I think that over the next year, this could do well. It's basically on 11.3 times December 21 earnings for 40% growth. So that sort of growth of 11.3 times, I think, is pretty attractive.
And what didn't go so well? And what did you learn from that?
Basically, what didn't go so well were my sales. So I said earlier on the portfolio is up 6.5% this year. If you take my portfolio as it was at 31st of December and did absolutely nothing to, it had done no trades, just disappeared away and done nothing, sat in your hands, then it would have been up around 19.5%, 20%. So actually, by trading, I haven't added value this year. And there's two stocks here. The first was Rockrose Energy. You can see the three sort of pink cells there. The last one was really sad because that was about a week before it went out at a 50% premium it was bid for. And that cost me around 3%. I don't feel so bad about that because I think the reasons I sold it made sense. At that stage, we weren't sure what was going to happen with the oil price. I always knew the oil price recovered strongly, then Rockrose would probably be all right. But had the oil price stayed low for longer, then it might have struggled a bit. So I think my reason for selling was fine, and it was sort of bad luck in terms of the timing. If I'd made that decision a week or so later, then I'd have done a lot better. The other stock that I sold was Games Workshop, where you can see where I've bought and sold that over the years. They're not all complete sales. They're where I've reduced or taken some profits. But the last sale there on the right at around £60 was a complete sale, and I look at that, and that again has cost me around 3% of performance. So. I look at that and I think, how could I sell when it was clearly, the momentum was clearly upwards? And I sort of was spooked by the valuation. But I think, again, if I'd looked maybe more closely at it, you'd have seen that the valuation wasn't quite as bad as it looked, because, earnings estimates were being upgraded, or at least the share price performance was telling you upgrades were coming. So, I mean, the one lesson I have taken away from that, this was chatting to a friend about, investment and things. And I remember he just said to me, just if you do decide to take profits in something, then because, maybe it's become too big a position, just make sure you don't sell so much that if it keeps going up, it really, makes you angry. So, in that case, maybe if I'd sold 20% or whatever, then that's fine. So, I mean, the STI Group the other week is stock I love. It had become quite a big position in the portfolio. I sold 20% at a nice profit at 85p. They've now gone up to £1. I'm delighted. So that's fine. And I think STI will be there for a long time. So I think that's the main lesson. Unless obviously something has changed about the whole investment, then you should just try and make sure you just trim rather than cut the whole lot. So it can't have been all bad though, because as I say, those two cost three each. The portfolio as a whole is probably only 3% behind if I'd done nothing. So some of the things I bought, like Venture Life Group, the Sigma Rock that we talked about earlier on and things have proved to be quite good purchases. So they've made up for one of these two mistakes.
So what's your top holding for 2021? Which is the one you're feeling most bullish about?
It's a very difficult one. It's like asking, which is my favourite child, because there's quite a lot of stocks. I mean, I've talked about Sylvania Platinum, I think that can go up a lot or whatever. But I think De La Rue's the one I've picked for today. I like recovery stories. If all the sort of everything comes together, you can do very well out of them. And but by everything coming together, I think it's important that you have a company that's capable of recovery. In other words, it has some good businesses within it. But you then need good management. So you've got a fairly new CEO here, Clive Vacher, who seems to be doing all the right things. He raised 100 million a few months back, which has repaired the balance sheet. So it sort of removed a lot of that risk. He's got rid of some of the like international identity, some of the sort of poorly performing businesses where he didn't feel there was a good future for them. And then, is reducing costs where it can be, cutting out fat. And so focusing on, the good bits of the business. So authentication seems to be a very exciting part, seeing really good order book growth. I think in it's just had results, actually, half year results the other day. And just in authentication, I think the turnover was around 37 million or something in the first half. And for the year, they're forecasting more than 100 million of revenue. So that means a pretty good second half coming through there. And also, you know, these are long-term contracts, so there's pretty good visibility looking into, you know, the following years. So, and I also think he's managing it well. I mean, he didn't promise too much in the recent results statement. So, you know, I think hopefully as we go through trading updates and future results, that you'll see to earnings upgrades coming through. But, you know, even without earnings upgrades, I think the valuation looks very attractive. It's a March year end. So you can see it's on 9.8 times for March 2022. So year we'll be moving into not so long from now, with 30% earnings growth. And then 7.3 times for March 23 with another 35% earnings growth. The March 21 figure is around 12.5 times for March 2021. So, I just think that, you know, this could get some good momentum behind it. You know, if the figures start to come through and you see earnings upgrades come through.
That's tremendous, John. Thank you very much indeed. And yep. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
So you can find me at www.johnsinvestmentchronicle.com. I do charge a membership subscription, which you can see on this slide here, but also it tells you everything you get there. The important thing is if you give it a go and you decide within 30 days that it's not really what you're looking for as a service, then you get that money back straight away. So there's nothing to lose from giving it a try.
That's great. And we look forward to catching up with you again in 2021. And for our listeners, there are more annual overview interviews on the website, piworld.co.uk. Wishing you a very happy and prosperous 2021.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.